Welcome back to the Deep Dive. Today, we are getting into a concept that's, well, it's less a piece of art history and more of a philosophical grenade.
It absolutely is. We're talking about Jedermensch ist Kunst. Every human is art.
And the source of this, the ground zero, is Joseph Beuys,
yeah.
Right? There's that famous 1983 quote.
Exactly. The source material really anchors us there. He said, "I myself am the artwork at this moment. The human being itself should become the artwork." And that word, should, it suggests a process, a future goal.
A call to action, almost.
Yeah.
But the reason we're doing this deep dive is to look at a collective that basically said Beuys didn't push it far enough.
Far enough at all. We're digging into the Joplin Factory. They claim to be the first group to actually, you know, artistically realize this idea. They move it from should become to, well, to is.
Their big statement is the man in itself cannot not be art, which is, I mean, that's an absolute, it's a state of being, not a goal.
Yeah, it's a total reframing.
Yeah.
And to get our heads around that, we're dissecting their work. We've got theoretical texts, manifestos, even an interview with the founder, Jack Joplin. We're going to trace this journey from Beuys' idea all the way to their, frankly, shocking proof.
And the way they try to prove it is just.
Yeah.
It's wild. We're going to be talking about things called memento multiples, guerrilla street actions, and yes, the very conceptual use of salmon art. Okay, so let's set the baseline. Beuys. When he said the human should become art, he was talking about his idea of social plastic. It was all about shaping society, right? Collective action.
Precisely. For Beuys, it was about societal change through design, through collaboration. It was public. The Joplin Factory sources they give him and others like Wolf Fostel full credit, but they say the idea just stalled.
Stalled how?
It just stayed as a development option in art theory. It was this idea floating in the ether, but it never got translated into art that validated the individual as the art, you know, separate from what they did for society.
And that's where the Joplin thesis comes in. So Beuys needed you to act in a certain way to be art. Joplin's group says the Mensch an sich, the man in itself, just is art.
Yes. It doesn't matter what you do for a living, what you create or protest. Your very existence is the work.
That's a huge paradigm shift.
It is. They're basically arguing that if art has expanded to include thoughts and words and even society itself, then the individual in their default state has to be art too. You as a person are the ultimate irreplaceable art object.
But if the art is just being, mm-hmm. then where's the creation? Where's the art making? Which brings us to this idea that really separates them. Social plastic versus private plastic.
This is the absolute core of their theory. Beuys' social plastic, as you said, is external, shaping the collective world. Think of it like public sculpture or designing a better city. It's visible, it's shared.
Okay, so then what is private plastic? It sounds internal, like just thinking or self-help.
That's the question, isn't it? They define it as the inner forming of your own thinking and feeling. It's the constant private shaping of your own spirit, your ethics, your emotions. That shaped spirit is the private plastic.
So it's art because it's the most complex thing a person can create, their own internal world.
Exactly. It's a work in progress that's always happening inside the gallery of your mind.
Mm-hmm.
And they argue that this process, this internal work, is what makes you inherently art. You don't have to perform it for anyone.
You're performing it just by existing.
Yes. And here's the other layer. They say that when you recognize this art in another person, the act of seeing them that way makes you, the viewer, an artist. The human is the subject and the work, and the viewer is what completes the installation.
Okay, I can see the philosophical beauty in that. It's hard to argue that being human isn't complex work, but if it's all invisible and internal, how do you show it to anyone? We need objects. We need proof.
And that leads us right into the practical side of things.
Mm.
The exhibition concept that serves as their artistic proof is called Jeder Mensch ist Kunst. Fleisch ist Kunst.
Every human is art. Flesh is art. Just the title is a lot. It's so immediate, so physical.
The idea behind it is pretty brutal, but it's simple. By putting dead flesh in front of you, conceptually or literally, they want to make you intensely aware of your own living flesh.
So you, standing there in the gallery, you suddenly realize that you're the actual breathing art object in the room.
That's the moment of realization they're aiming for. The axiom that you cannot not be art becomes real for you.
So the whole gallery becomes a stage, basically. And this is where they have this shop idea where they distribute these conceptual tools they call memento multiples.
Right. And calling it a shop is a genius move. It sort of democratizes the art, takes away that precious museum object vibe. And these memento multiples, they have three categories.
Let's start with the direct ones. What are those?
The simplest. They're the memento mirror multiples, just small mirrors, a spiegel. The source material calls them a bridge to self-understanding as art. You pick it up, you look at it, and the thing you're holding reflects the real artwork.
Yourself. It's impossible to avoid.
Unavoidable. Okay, but then we get to the radical category. This is the salmon art, the Lascaux, and this is a huge step.
Why salmon? I mean, why that specific slash?
Well, salmon is loaded with symbolism, right? Life cycles, journeys, transformation, food. So the Joblin factory created actual art objects, pictures out of salmon. There are documented works called Last Supper and Fish You Were Here.
Wow.
By taking this organic, recognizable flesh and making these temporary art forms, they're forcing you to contrast that dead material with your own living, self-forming, private plastic inside you.
Which then makes the third category, the stylish one, the flesh art shirts and dresses, feel less like fashion and more a statement. You're literally wearing your status as art.
You're wearing the concept. It's using this perishable material to point to the art that isn't perishable, the shaped spirit. Of course, we have to remember they see themselves as completing a long story.
Right. They're not pulling this out of thin air. They cite their predecessors.
We have to give them their due. Tim Ulrichs declared himself the first living artwork back in 1961. Ben Vaudier literally signed himself as art. And of course, Gilbert and George, who became the singing sculpture.
So those artists asked the question.
And the Joblin Factory believes they're providing the definitive, structured answer.
Okay, so we have the theory, private plastic, and we have the physical proof, Fleisch ist Kunst. So the next move, logically, is to take this out of the gallery and onto the streets.
Exactly. And for that, they used what they call the guerrilla vernissage. They would target huge art events, with Documenta 15 in Kassel being the main example.
And the goal wasn't just to put their art there. It was something else.
The whole point was to avoid creating another external thing for people to look at. They wanted to create situations where visitors at Documenta were forced to experience themselves as the art.
So they were weaponizing the audience against the institution. What did that look like? What were they actually doing?
It was a whole series of these little tactical interventions. So, you know, you're walking through Kassel and suddenly you see people just carrying those salmon pictures through the streets.
Just walking around with
just
them.
Just walking. They were handing out mirror postcards and books everywhere. Museums, bars, squares. They were placing these little polished steel mirrors in the most unexpected places, sometimes on the floor or hidden inside other artists' exhibits.
I love the shopping cart chips. That's so subtle and weird.
It's pure conceptual disruption, isn't it? Just scattering these worthless plastic chips near the main museum, the Fraterichianum. It's this mundane, everyday object forcing its way into a high art space. It's about perceptual whiplash.
And then they went right for the jugular, confronting Bue's own legacy with his 7,000 Oaks project.
Oh, yeah. The source material says they were preparing for the striking the felling of some of Bue's individual oak trees.
That feels aggressive.
It sounds like vandalism, but it's a deep conceptual move. If Bea's Forest of Oaks represents the long-term collective social plastic, then taking down one single tree is a statement that the individual, the Mensch an sich, is the singular unit of art that matters now. They're saying private plastic has to come first.
So if we take this all the way, what are the societal implications? If we actually accept that every human is art, what happens then?
The utopian vision in their texts is pretty powerful. They argue it would require automatic, non-negotiable respect for every single person. It reframes the whole human image to be one without exclusion or violence, because you can't destroy art.
And this is where they propose replacing basic rights, Grundrecht, with art rights, Kunstrechte. But wait, isn't that just a different name for human rights?
That's the challenge. Their argument is that basic rights are based on a legal or political agreement, which, you know, can be changed or ignored. But art rights would stem from your inherent status as an art object. It's not granted to you. It's a condition of your being. They claim private plastic is how you save the world.
And this is extending out into digital culture, too. They're connecting it to ideas like Lumbung.
That's right. Lumbung is that idea of a communal resource barn. They see sharing ideas and knowledge online as an extension of sharing your private plastic. They're pushing for these peer-for-peer, massive, open online courses or P4P MOOCs. The idea is that every bit of shared culture is a resource flowing from billions of human art objects.
This has been a lot to unpack. We've gone from a single quote by Joseph Beres, this idea that a human should become art, all the way to the Joblin Factory's radical claim that the man in itself simply is art.
And they get there by making that crucial shift, moving away from the collective social plastic and focusing inward on the work of private plastic. and then proving it with mirrors and meat.
It's an incredibly provocative, dizzying idea.
Oh, absolutely. And the sources acknowledge that it's difficult. It gets criticized for, you know, risking objectification or just being morality dressed up as art. But at the end of the day, it's this powerful impulse. It forces you to find a new way of seeing art, society, and what it means to be human.
So, for our final thought, we have to come back to an image that the source material weaves through this entire philosophy. We've talked about flesh. But they consistently use the symbol of the hair.
Yes, they even have the line, every human is a hair. And that takes you right back to Bees and his most famous performance, How to Explain Pictures to a Dead Hair. For Bees, the hair was all about intuition, spirit, reincarnation.
So we leave you with this. If the presence of dead flesh is supposed to make us aware of our living art, what new layer of meaning gets added when we think about the question that the sources pose, the one that ties it all together?
How the dead hair explains man as art. That question, connecting flesh and spirit, art history, and your own self, that's the one for you to take with you.